Well, this passage we haven't read yet, and I'm going to read it. It's 12 verses from Acts chapter 13. And what's interesting about it is that it's the beginning of the missionary activity of the church. You can remain seated if you want to. I would if I was listening to it. In the church at Antioch, there were prophets and teachers: Barnabas, Simeon, called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manian, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. The two of them, sent on their way by the Holy Spirit, went down to Seleucia and sailed from there to Cyprus. When they arrived at Salamis, they proclaimed the word of God in the Jewish synagogues. John was with them as their helper. That's John Mark, the author of the book of Mark. John Mark was with them as their helper. They traveled through the whole island until they came to Paphos. There they met a Jewish sorcerer and false prophet named Bar-Jesus, who was an attendant to the proconsul Sergius Paulus. The proconsul, an intelligent man, sent for Barnabas and Saul because he wanted to hear the word of God. But Elymas, the sorcerer, for that is what his name means, opposed them and tried to turn the proconsul from the faith. Then Saul, who was also called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked straight at Elymas and said, "You are a child of the devil and an enemy of everything that is right. You are full of all kinds of deceit and trickery. Will you never stop perverting the right ways of the Lord? Now the hand of the Lord is against you. You are going to be blind for a time. For a time you will be unable to see the light of the sun." Immediately, mist and darkness came over him, and he groped about seeking someone to lead him by the hand. When the proconsul saw what had happened, he believed, for he was amazed at the teaching about the Lord. Well, this text records, like I said, the church's first commissioning of missionaries. That's what the first part is, and that's a whole sermon in itself if we wanted to take time with it. And it talks about the first missionary journey, and it also talks about the first conversion that Paul, the Apostle Paul, started in his missionary career as his first conversion. And it's also here that Saul is now called Paul. And that's interesting. We'll talk about that in a minute. But the title of this message, I've made three stories of blindness. Three different stories of blindness. It doesn't talk about too much blindness here until we get to the end, but you'll see that there is some blindness here. In each of these people, there's had three stories of enlightenment, actually. These are three stories of enlightenment in the lives of three prominent individuals that are in the story. And in each case, what I read earlier, the Holy Spirit reveals divine truth regardless of our response to it. The Holy Spirit reveals divine truth to us regardless of our response. So let's take the Apostle Paul, who's now still called Saul, and we'll talk about the blindness of Saul. Now, Saul's custom was to preach to Jews. That was Saul's custom. When they arrived at Salamis, they proclaimed the word of God in the Jewish synagogues. Now, that's very interesting because later, when he was writing about the saving power of the gospel in Romans 1, he says, it was first for the Jews and then for the Gentile. The gospel was first for the Jews and then for the Gentile. And many Jews had migrated to this island of Cyprus, so there were lots of synagogues for him to preach in. But Christian Jews had got there before him. If you remember, in Acts chapter 11, it says this, "Now those who had been scattered by the persecution, which was in Jerusalem, in connection with Stephen, traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, now Cyprus, where we're talking about, and Antioch, telling the message only to Jews. So Paul was doing the same thing. He was preaching in the Jewish synagogue. But God wants to expand our limited vision. We might be blind to something. God wants to expand our limited vision, even as Christ said in John chapter 4, do not say 4 months more and then the harvest. I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. Now Jesus said that, and that sentence has continued all the way down to today. Open your eyes, there's a harvest field out there. Well, the evidence for Paul, or Saul, we'll call him Saul still, the evidence for Saul was there, but he was blindly focused. He was blindly focused on the gospel harvest for the Jews. And he was sort of like, he didn't see that there was a gospel harvest for the Gentile. He had the evidence of it, because there had been stories about the Ethiopian eunuch, where Philip had talked to him, and then the Cornelius' household that Peter had gone to. These were Gentiles, so he knew about that. But he wasn't preaching necessarily to Gentiles. He was reaching out. His focus had blinded him to the larger Gentile harvest field. If we are only sticking to what we're used to, if that's what we do, we only stick to what we're used to, then sometimes what we'll do, we'll miss seeing and miss participating in realities that we haven't yet experienced. That's not part of our experience. We might miss those experiences. Well, any true ministry that we could have, and what any true ministry that Paul had, it really comes from God. It really comes from, it's God's ministry, and he's doing it through us, but it's still God's ministry. He was called by God. It wasn't Paul's ministry, it was God's ministry through Paul. Here's what it says in verse 2. While they were worshiping the Lord, this was in that meeting of prophets and teachers in Antioch, when they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, this was God's will, not that they had a good idea about becoming missionaries, but set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. To which I have called them. It was not their work, it was God's work that they were being called to. And God had given Saul a new job description. And eventually he recognized it. Because later on he wrote in Galatians, it was my ministry. He was said, what my ministry is, my ministry as an apostle of the Gentiles. He recognized it later on. But right here, he hadn't quite recognized it yet. And this call was so clear to Saul that he actually, from this date onward, he stopped using his Jewish name, Saul. He started using a Gentile name, Paul, like Sergius Paulus. And if you read it in the Greek, that's what it is. We could say Paul, not Paul, but that's the English. But Paulus, that is Latin, or, you know, in the Greek translation into Latin. So Paulus was his name instead of Saul. So he actually adopted the name that's like the one he first led to the Lord. That's an interesting point if you think about it. You don't really think that sometimes when you read it. But this is when he changed, at the time when this guy named Sergius Paulus got saved, when he became converted. The Holy Spirit reveals divine truth so that we can make the right response to it. We may not make the right response, but he made that. He reveals that so that we will respond. John Wesley, he did not like to preach open door preaching outside. But you know, the Holy Spirit led him to do that, and he obeyed it. So he'd go outside and preach on street corners or preach to big crowds of people that were moving, because that's where they were. I mean, they didn't come to church. They were out there. So he went out and did open air preaching, and many, many people came to the Lord. He was listening to the Spirit, even though he didn't necessarily want to do that. He didn't like, he thought it was undignified, but he did it anyway. And that was good. If Saul's if Saul's understanding hadn't changed by when he encountered this Roman a proconsul, you know, if he hadn't changed his mind, you know, God might have raised up somebody else to be the apostle to the Gentiles, because God's not will is not going to change. We have to change according to His will. God wants to open our eyes and expand our vision. Now let's look at the blindness of Elymas. I think that's the right pronunciation, but he was called Bar-Jesus also. Well, who was he? Well, this is the only way we know about him. It's just this what's in this text. That's all we know about him. So we have to look at the text and say, start figuring some things out, especially logistics. What was going on here? Well, first of all, he was a Jew named Bar-Jesus, which means son of Joshua. It's a good Jewish name. And he had renamed himself, like Paul had renamed himself, he had renamed himself in the Gentile world as Elymas. Elymas means sorcerer. That's what the word itself means. It says that in the text. And that's interesting because, you know, the exercise of occult powers, expertise in the occult, that was sort of like a prestigious thing, and it could actually win him some clout with you know, people in official positions. And it did. It won him a position, as it says here, the attendant to the proconsul. So he was like a counselor to the proconsul. And he must have frequented the Jewish synagogue. He was Jew, and he must have frequented the Jewish synagogues, you know, because he was a false prophet. Prophets love to preach, right? I love to preach. I feel like I'm sort of like a prophet sometimes. I got my staff with me now. But the people who like to talk like to go where there are people they can talk to. And so, yeah, he probably was at the synagogue. And this may be where Saul met him, because he didn't go to the proconsul first. The proconsul called for him. So evidently, Elymas must have said something to the proconsul about these new Christians that are coming preaching. And so this was very, very interesting. Now, what is also interesting about this is that he was responsible, even though he was a false prophet, he was responsible for getting them to Sergius Paulus, this proconsul. But he also tried to stop the proconsul from believing these people. Don't believe this faith. He tried to stop him. He tried to keep him from accepting that message. Now, the blindness of Elymas was his rejection of truth. He had rejection of truth. As a Jew, he knew it was wrong to be a sorcerer. He was not supposed to do that. The Word of God had spoken against that, but he had chosen that forbidden realm. And he even gloried in it. He was happy to be in that realm so that he could gain this power or gain prestige or a position with this person. And upon hearing of Christ fulfilling the Old Testament, he knew the Old Testament. He was a Jew. He knew about the Old Testament. But when he heard that the gospel fulfilled the Old Testament, even then, he still rejected it because he didn't see anything that could advance his position, make him, you know, what's in it for me? Well, nothing in it for me. That's their stuff. So I'm sticking with my stuff, you know. And so it's interesting because there's a quote this made me think of. It's an old German quote. It's translated into English. Light accepted brings more light. Light rejected brings the night. Right? I read that again. Light accepted brings more light. Light rejected brings the night. And that's true. If you reject light, you get the night. If you accept light, God will give you more light. The Holy Spirit did reveal the truth to Elymas. He did reveal the truth to Elymas about his spiritual blindness. And they were God's words that Paul were spoken here. I'm going to read them. Again, God's words. God was doing this. It was God's activity. God was speaking. The Holy Spirit was speaking to Elymas through Paul. But it was God that was doing this. He says this in verse 9 and 10. Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked straight at Elymas and said, You are a child of the devil and an enemy of everything that is right. You are full of all kinds of deceit and trickery. Will you never stop perverting the right ways of the Lord? Elymas had pretended to be a magus. A magus is like a singular of magi. The magi, you know, a wise man. That's what the word means. A wise man. But Paul's words exposed his true character. And then God temporarily made Elymas literally blind. And it illustrated Elymas' true spiritual condition. And it also validated what Paul had described in his words, or the words that that the Holy Spirit had spoken to him. It was like a physical illustration. And God was giving Elymas another chance. A chance to change. Before then, he made a career of misleading others. Now, it says, he groped about seeking someone to lead him by the hand. What a turn. What a turnaround. He now needed someone who could see, and someone who could lead him about and do it so honestly, not someone who would mislead him and take advantage of him. And that's what he had been doing to other people. So this was a big shift, and it actually was an opportunity for him. This allowed him to review his life and to repent. And we don't know if he did so. But someone who had been misled by him did repent and accept the Lord. And that's the story of the blindness of Sergius Paulus. And his was a common, it's seemingly innocent but dangerous kind of blindness. He might have thought to himself, I'm of noble birth. I'm of noble birth. I come from a noble nation. Why seek gods other than my own? If I have a great nation and I have a noble birth, why seek other gods? You know, that might have been his thought. Blind faith in whatever we've inherited. Just blind faith in whatever we have inherited is a dangerous way to face eternity. I just believe it because I've inherited from my family or my friend. Every situation of salvation is a one-on-one basis where it's you and God. It cannot be just something I inherited. It has to be you and God. And you know, Paul reminded the Gentile converts in Ephesians, you who are Gentiles by birth, remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, without hope and without God in the world. And that was the situation of Sergius Paulus. He had the Roman gods, but he didn't have God, the Creator. But it says in this passage, he was an intelligent man. It says he was an intelligent man. And his logic might have not said, you know, I'm of noble birth and all that. It might have said something else. He might have said, with so many views of truth that are running around lately, only the one that comes from God himself must be true. He might have thought that if he was an intelligent man. It says he was intelligent. So, you know, what he had done, are there evidences that he was like that? Yeah, there is, because he took a Jewish person, even though he's a false prophet, he took a Jewish person as his counselor. And he had actually asked that guy, send for Paul. I want to hear the word of God. He wanted to hear what God was going to say about truth. So that shows his character. The spiritual blindness of those who seek truth. If they are spiritually blind, but they're seeking truth, it's easily cured. It's easily cured. But how ironic it is in this situation. How ironic that his cure, the cure of Sergius Paulus' blindness, was facilitated by watching God make a false prophet physically blind. That just, whoa. This guy, I've been listening to this guy all this time. He's given me his counsel, and now the God who makes sight has made him blind because he was making me blind. And now my eyes are open. You know, that's interesting. That's really an interesting point. When the proconsul saw what had happened, he believed, for he was amazed at the teaching about the Lord. His focus was on the teaching, not on the miracle, but the miracle was the thing that made him straighten up and say, whoa, this is interesting, you know? This is amazing that here this guy has been counseling me is now blind, and I've been blind under his counsel. Jesus preached the truth while he was here. He healed spiritual blindness during that time, and they crucified him for it. They did. They crucified him. But he rose again, and he kept on doing it. He's not done yet. That's the whole theme of this book. He's not done. He's keeping on in his work. He said he would send the Holy Spirit long before he did, and the Holy Spirit would continue to reveal truth. And Jesus would be doing that through him and through people. In John 16, it says, Jesus told about the Holy Spirit, when he comes, he will convince the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. The Holy Spirit reveals divine truth regardless of our response to it. So, do we have any blindness that's similar to these three men? Are we like Saul, so focused on our own experiences that we miss seeing the important realities that God wants to show us? Or do we ever blindly sacrifice our convictions so that we can gain clout or prestige? This might be a thing of just fear too. We want to be accepted by people, so we don't say what we really believe. We don't say our convictions. That's like Elymas. If we have that's sort of a blindness in a sense. Or conversely, we can look at Sergius Paulus. Do we recognize our lack of knowledge? Do we recognize our spiritual blindness and we want God to correct it? We want the truth from God's Word. That is the cure, and he sought that. If we are willing to have our spiritual eyes opened, then the Holy Spirit will show us aspects of truth that maybe we've missed. Aspects of truth that maybe we have missed. Aspects of God's will that we've been blind to. We just haven't seen that God wants me to do this. And then there's one important thing that I'm thinking about recently, and that is we might also miss feeling the internal presence of Christ who is in us, because we're just not feeling it. We're just not sensitive. Our eyes aren't open to it. Our awareness is not open to Christ living inside of us. All of those things, all of those are curable. They're all curable if we'll just open our eyes. So let's pray that the Lord help us to do that in our lives as we read the Word of God, as we hear the Word of God, as we listen to the Holy Spirit. Let's ask Him to open our eyes, and so we will not have spiritual blindness. Let's pray. Father God, thank you again for this day. Lord, as we are going through this service, we're enjoying a time of your word, but we're also thinking about Charlotte and what they're doing with her right now. God, help her. Help her to recover from this. I pray, Father God, others that are away from us right now, they're suffering physically, that you would be with them, God, and bless them, touch their bodies. Help us, Lord, to have our eyes open, and especially, Lord, to be sensitive to your Holy Spirit within us. Your Holy Spirit has brought the entire Trinity inside of us. And so whenever we turn into our hearts, we can listen to the voice of the Lord inside of us. So I pray, Father God, that you'd help us to have that openness to your Holy Spirit, have our eyes open, and help us, Lord, to be witnesses for you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.